If you've listened to my last episode, you're aware that the Mountain Practice Journeys podcast is becoming the Cozy Hermit Coven podcast. If you haven't yet heard, go back and listen to episode 102 titled Something Cozy This Way Comes. Right now, I'm in that in-between stage of rebranding. I'm slowly transitioning things over, so please bear with me. I'm working on updated intros and outros for the podcast, and I'm building myself a new website, which is cozyhermitcoven.com. So with that announcement out of the way, let's get into today's episode with Adina Arden Cooper of Firebird Creative. But first, I want to share a little bit about Adina. She serves as a witness and a guide on the journey of personal growth and discovery. Her background is in mental health counseling, and she has over 20 years of experience in the field. Her work has evolved over time, and she now refers to herself as a shadow guide and soul healing specialist rather than a therapist. Adina helps people unearth what lies hidden in the subconscious for expanded awareness and fulfillment. She teaches people how to know and connect with the soul, which brings more fulfillment, peace, and joy to life. I know that you'll love our conversation today where we talk about shadow work and ancestral healing. So let's get into it. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the podcast. Today, I'm here with Adina Arden Cooper of Firebird Creative, and she is a shadow guide and soul healing specialist. So welcome, Adina.
Thank you, Cindy. I'm super excited to be here with you.
Yeah. Why don't you tell everyone a little bit more about yourself?
Okay. Let's see. I call myself a shadow guide and soul healing specialist because those seem to be the terms that are most appropriate for the work that I do now. But technically, I'm a licensed counselor. I've been licensed since 2006, and I've been working in the counseling field since 2003. So about 20 years in the field, and it's been an interesting progression along the way. I started out working with children and sort of morphed my practice into working with adults, and have gotten deeper and deeper into it as I've moved forward.
Yeah, I know that today. I mean, I love all the work that you do, and I think it's so important. And today we are going to focus on talking about shadow work and soul healing and maybe some ancestral work. So how did you, have you always been interested in that, or did your, did it kind of morph into that over time? Or if it's like me, where I felt like I had these two separate identities where it was work me, and then the kind of what some people might think of as more like weird or occult or just different things that I would do personally. So I'm curious about your evolution in that regard.
Yeah, that's such a great question. I have always walked in shadow. And I think as a highly sensitive person and a highly sensitive child, you know, I kind of went deep right from the get-go. And what I've learned since in studying my natal chart and getting a little more familiar with that sort of influence is, so my natal sun is conjunct Pluto, so sort of like born to do that kind of depth work. But yeah, for a long time, the things were separate. So, you know, having always sort of walked in shadow, I've always been someone to do deep work for myself personally. And I always had the call to serve others. So like I said, it started out in counseling in general. And when I say it's like morphed and I've gotten deeper and deeper along the way, what I mean is deeper and deeper into the psyche. So as my career has evolved, it has my personal path of growth and evolution and my professional path have sort of converged. So they were a little bit separate initially, me on my own, always kind of going deep and doing deep work and helping others do their work, but then those two things getting closer and closer together. So as I've gone deeper and deeper with myself and developed those practices personally, I've become obviously more and more aware of how helpful certain things are to others. And it's helped evolve my practice. After a certain point in doing my own work, I mean, I had my own frustrations around traditional talk therapy and feeling like I just wasn't getting where I needed to be with that. And so that has helped me to know how to help others deal with that frustration and go deeper as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I feel like I've been on a similar path in that just the past few years, I can't really separate those. And I always go back to thinking, maybe it's just the way that we were socialized or the way that we're expected to be in this society, whether it's, you know, capitalism or colonialism or white supremacy or whatever those things are that sometimes separate us from who we are or want to have us act or present ourselves in a certain way. And yeah, not to diss on therapy, but sometimes with the rigid structure of some of it and maybe some of the creators of some of the things in certain systems like that, where it there is, I don't know, some kind of separation between this depth work that that can sometimes be evident in some of these more, I don't know, sometimes like the indigenous ways of healing or I don't even know where I'm going with this, but it's just there seemed to be something missing with that depth.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, I have my thoughts on how that happened and why that's that way. I mean, with your mention of indigenous cultures, I think a disconnect from nature as a people, as a culture, as a society has pulled us away from depth work. And, you know, going back to your own meanderings into, say, the occult or other non-traditional kind of practices, I think the dominant Christian culture has also sort of pulled us away. So this notion that, you know, God is this separate entity and something to be feared rather than a divine energy that flows within all of us and something to be embraced and loved. And I think, you know, more and more people are shifting back into a more intuitive and natural way of being, which I think is giving rise to more alternative methods, which I really, truly appreciate. But another thing I want to mention related to what you're saying, you know, I think historically, you know, this notion of the esoteric is woo-woo. I hate that term so much because to me, it sounds flighty and silly, and it just feels really super disrespectful to me. So for anyone listening, you know, I know people who even like go the alternative route will refer to themselves that way. And I find it derogatory, so I don't appreciate it.
Yeah, I think maybe a couple years ago, I had started seeing people's commentary on that. And I had never thought about it before because it's just one of those terms that you pick up on, especially when you're exploring more in this area. And once you realize how it sounds and the way people view that, or they'll use it as a way to make light of it, or maybe not really claim that part of themselves. So it has so many layers to it. And the more I looked into it, the more I'm like, wow, it does feel really disrespectful. It doesn't, it makes light of something that is really, really deep.
Yes. And I think it ties back into patriarchy as a dominant system too, because those more intuitive, felt sense sort of ways of being are very, you know, feminine. And I don't mean that in relationship to gender, just the energy of it. And the logical, linear, rational mind being, you know, more masculine, and that going along with that dominant structure, we've again gotten cut off. And one of the things that I do with my clients is help them learn how to tap back into their intuitive sense, their own wise guide within.
Yeah, I think there's been a pull toward that. And I don't know if it's because I'm noticing more or immersing myself into that side of things, but I've noticed among even my friends that are not therapists and also my friends that are therapists, that there's this pull to incorporate more of whether it's astrology or tarot or just different ways of thinking about things and not these empirically validated. And I can go off on a tangent on that because it's like, hey, if you have the money or if you have the backing or what you can prove anything. Basically, you can run it through all these rigorous tests and set it up to where it looks like, oh yeah, this is 99% effective on all people. And it's and some of the things that maybe people are not really putting through, I don't know, that they're just not looking at it in that way. And I think there's something to be said about things that can't be proven. I'm one of these people who I really like believe in the things that can't be proven, because if you look back, you know, hundreds of years, then there are things that we can prove right now that people way back then would have thought you were insane, like believing in or thinking that this could be proven. So I'm thinking that we're at that place right now where there are a lot of things that can't be proven that feel really real to me. And I know that maybe a few hundred years down the road, there may be some way to say like, yeah, this is real, and us not just feel it, but it would be more commonplace for people to accept it and know that it's real.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree with that.
Yeah, thinking about, well, I know that shadow work has, you've been doing it for a long time, and here recently it's gotten to be like a buzzword and people are really kind of flocking to it, because I think that probably because we need that type of healing. And so for people that might not be familiar with exactly what it is, or if they're like, I don't know what this is, it sounds kind of spooky, or like, I don't know, when you just think of the shadow, there's been a lot of negative connotations with it. So if you could just introduce people to what shadow work is.
Yeah, thank you. I think the biggest misconception about shadow work is that it's like dark, scary. Again, like this is a misconception that goes along with the esoteric and the occult too, that it's like evil or bad. And shadow work just refers to like working with the subconscious mind, the things that are not in conscious awareness. And really what lies in your subconscious has a much more significant impact on your experience than what you know about. We're so often driven and motivated by things that we aren't even consciously aware of or don't really understand. So shadow work is developing the tools to go a little deeper and to excavate what lies beneath the surface. And this relates back to what you were saying about believing in things that can't necessarily be proven, because again, relying on the intuitive sense is so helpful in this way. And there's so much that when we are able to like move away from our logical linear mind, that we just know. And that's been the most powerful part of this practice for me, is like clearing away the judgments and the negativity and the assumptions, and just getting at the heart of this deep rooted knowing and allowing that knowing to float forward and trusting that knowing. It's been incredibly, for me personally, deeply healing. And I've seen that effect with my clients as well. So, you know, this is the sort of thing where you get into dream analysis, or I do a lot of like visioning work, either guided visualizations, or I help people in their own independent visioning work while in session, sort of setting that container for them. To go a little deeper. And one of the things that I hear a lot from people, and I also have been known to say myself, is like, I don't know if this is true, or I don't know if I'm making this up, and I'm always like, stop, don't question it. Just trust what's coming through, and allow yourself to have that vision, allow yourself to access that knowing with the awareness that sometimes the interpretation shouldn't be done literally. Mm-hmm. So again, like with dream work, say for example, if I dream about, say, a particular person, I might, that might not be that I'm I have anything to do with that particular person per se, but it might be what that person represents for me or some aspect of myself that I'm discovering or learning about with that person as an archetype.
Yeah, I think the whole archetype thing, because sometimes people will be freaked out because they might be, you know, just dreaming about like a past partner or something. It's like, why am I dreaming about this person I dated like 20 years ago? But it's when you interpret the dream, it's more of they represent just like relationships or like those relationships in general. It might not be about that specific person. And they're, yeah. And I know that that can be interpreted like you were talking about, just there's this archetype or this energy or how you felt or what it represents. And it isn't always about the specifics of the dream. And I think one of the things that really helps me is when you reflect back on yourself, it's like, how was I feeling in the dream? And, you know, if something appears to you, whether it's like a scary animal or like sometimes people can be freaked out by snakes, but it's like, did you? And sometimes you can be scared in your dream, or sometimes it's like, wow, normally I'm scared of snakes in my real life, but in this dream, I felt like a sense of peace. So I think there's another layer of that reflection that you can do about what you were feeling during the dream to make even more meaning of it.
Yes, absolutely. When I do like dream analysis or interpretation with clients, you know, I will never present to them what that means. And you know, I find it difficult when, or just problematic, I guess, when people do turn to external sources consistently for interpretation of their own stuff. It is so dependent on how you relate to things or what certain things mean to you. Now, that being said, of course, there's the collective consciousness. And sometimes certain symbols or things are infused with meaning through the collective, but that will come through when you interpret what that means for you personally. So yeah, don't rely on anyone else exclusively to tell you what your dream was about.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's really good, because it can be, especially when you're first starting this work, you just want to look it up or want someone to tell you what it means. And initially, I did. Sometimes I might still do that, but it's not, it's almost like an afterthought or just like something to add to it a little bit or see if there's anything that, because I do have this huge dream interpretation book, but I try to infuse it with like what it means for me. And sometimes I'll read something and I'll be like, nope, that's not it. So just being able to trust yourself over the outside resources. And sometimes it's like, wow, that goes a little bit deeper than I was able to go in my interpretation. And it feels like it really fits. And then other times I read it and I'm like, nope, that's not it. And just being able to discard that information, even if you might see it as credible or coming from someone that you really trust, if it does not resonate with you, then leave it. And so I think that can help in being able to trust your own intuition and build that trust in yourself.
For sure. And that's key. That's what's most important, I think, with any of the tools to be used. You know, I'm also thinking about tarot. And the use of any kind of oracle cards. And of course, the cards each have their energy and their meaning. I see it as like language, you know, it's what they're speaking, what they're conveying. But it's important, again, to run that message through your own filters to understand how you're actually being directed. So that you can, you know, with cards too, so often they're regarded as predictive, and this is what's going to happen. And it's just guidance, and what is going to happen depends on how you take the advice or how you receive the guidance, how you interpret it. So I think it's important for people to always remember to filter everything through the lens of their own experience and their own interpretation of things.
Yeah. And I don't really believe in the predictive stuff as far as, oh, this card came up or this is in your astrology chart, so this is going to happen. I feel like there is energy behind things, and it's, so there is like an energy of the chart or an energy of the card, or this is like a potential that can happen, but you've got, you know, your free will of doing what you want to with that information. And because I believe both in destiny and free will, I feel like they play with one another nicely. And there may be certain things that maybe you're meant to experience, but you have no idea how you're going to experience them or when it's going to come up. And it's based on so many other factors.
Yeah, exactly. I agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Switching gears a little bit. And because I know we mentioned maybe wanting to talk about ancestor work, because it's getting to be that season right now. And I know a lot of people are interested in that. So, if you could describe ancestor work, what that's like for people that just aren't familiar, like they've heard the term, but they're like, what is it? And how do I go about doing that?
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, it's hard for me to speak on that as a general authority. I will say that I have my way of doing ancestral healing work, and there are probably many ways of doing it. It ties back into what I was saying about trusting the self and the intuitive sense and the inner knowing. So again, through my own healing process, I started to tap into some deep knowing and sense of just certain experiences I had, beginning to realize that I have kind of always sensed like, oh, this feels bigger than me, or I might be struggling with this particular emotion or a repeated pattern, say a repeated experience. And there's some sense of like, this feels extra heavy. This feels really cumbersome. I'm having a hard time getting out from under it. And I've just over time developed this knowing of like, I'm carrying stuff that does not belong to me. And as I've allowed that to be the case, you know, just sort of gone, okay, that's true. Then I'm going to go deeper. More and more knowing has come through. And for me, that's been through visioning work. I work with an energy / shamanic healer for myself. I also do traditional therapy, just to kind of share for folks listening that there are many ways to do the work. But through that more spiritual work is when I have confronted some of this ancestral stuff a little more deeply. I will say that one of the first hits, I guess, that I got was through the book My Grandmother's Hands by Rezma Menachem. In that book, he offers a guided visualization where you meet an ancestor. So I did that on my own. And when I did that, I just had a vision. I just had an image of someone come through, and it was just a glimpse initially. So I took that to my healing practitioner and we went a little deeper with it. And with that, you just allow like, okay, let's go further. Let's just trust this vision. And so much information came forward for me that tied back into my own emotional experience, my own patterns that had come up in my life to kind of connect some of the dots. So, I don't really know how to get more clear than that, except to say that trust your imagination and trust your powers of visualization, because you're not making stuff up when awareness comes. It's providing important and valuable information. There's a couple other books that have been helpful to me in this practice. One is It Didn't Start With You by Mark Wolin. And I'm not going to remember the author. Maybe you remember, Cindy, but Many Lives, Many Masters.
Oh, yes. One of my favorite books, Many Lives, Many Masters by Dr. Brian Wise. And it, his last name is W-E-I-S-S or W. Yeah, I'll put links in the show notes to these books, but that is probably one of my favorite books. It was the first book that I read that introduced me to past lives. I read it in my early 20s, and it's, you know, about this prominent, I think he's a psychiatrist, and would do work where he would kind of, I guess the, I want to say hypnotize, but it's like a,
yeah, a deep state.
Yeah, just
consciousness. Yeah.
Yeah, just where people could go back to earlier parts in their lives and maybe uncover where some things started. And over the course of time, people just keep going further and further back because they couldn't identify anything that happened in this life that was causing their distress. And he, you know, stumbles upon like these past life memories and really fought against it at first because of his medical training. And he was like, oh, I don't want my colleagues to think I'm, you know, just making all this stuff up or that there's, but anyway, I don't want to spoil it for you, but it is, yeah, highly recommend that book. It's so, so good.
Yeah. And I bring it up, even though past lives a little different from ancestral healing, but not that different in the way to approach it from a perspective. Again, it's about allowing your intuition to guide you and lead the way and taking that doubting logical mind out of the equation to just trust what knowing comes forward. So when I'm working with clients, I've gotten to the point where I can often sense when there's more to the story, particularly if we've been working together for a while and we've addressed, you know, the traumas from this lifetime that we're aware of, and we've gone deep with that. And like, there's just stuck patterns that keep repeating. It's, you know, now I'm like, oh, okay, you're carrying in something else, whether it be from your ancestral line or, past lives or whatever, but we're going to now address that broader story. So oftentimes I'll have clients just use their imagination to visualize what the story is. Okay, so imagine there's this, you're having this experience, this emotional experience, a stuck pattern. Let's just imagine that that's part of someone else's story. Who is that person? So we do a bit of imagining, you know, character development in that way. And sometimes it's amazing what comes forward for people when they trust their knowing. They're like, oh, it's this person, I can tell. And they can get very detailed with like descriptions of it. And then we just kind of go forward with that. Okay, this is the person that we're healing, whether this is your soul in another incarnation or an ancestor. And sometimes when people know their ancestry or their heritage, they can feel like, yes, this feels right, or this matches. But sometimes it doesn't, and it's more confusing. But the other way that I approach it is when we have a sense of this energy that they're experiencing, I work with it similar to like an IFS approach. So internal family systems therapy, which for those who aren't familiar, addresses different parts of self. You know, it's rooted in the idea that we all have multiple parts of self that have different, thoughts, feelings, beliefs, fears, all of that. So I just address the ancestor or the other lifetime, like similarly to how I would if it were any other part of self. And what I found is similar to parts work, what is so incredibly healing is simply the witnessing. So these parts, these ancestors or whatever, really want to be seen. And when they feel like they are, there is an energetic shift that often occurs and a lightening of suffering for the person I'm working with.
Yeah, I love that, because I think what people aren't always aware of is that a lot of times when we're doing healing, we're imagining like I'm healing these past things so I don't pass them down, or where it's like mm-hmm. that direction. But also when you do this work, it heals like in the past and it goes back through all your ancestors, and there's this healing that occurs. And sometimes if I spend too much time thinking about how time isn't real, that it's an illusion, that I can, it really kind of scrambles up my little earthly brain that can't comprehend, because it's like I know that that's real, but I can't make sense of it here on this plane. But I do know that, yeah, when you're doing this healing work, it doesn't only affect future generations. It travels backward in time and heals in reverse.
Yeah. And, you know, the way that I have come to conceive of that is it's not even really traveling backwards in time or forwards in time or whatever, because the way that I, through doing this intuitive work, have come to understand time is it is not linear.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that is the illusion. And it does, you know, for our truth and reality, we do experience it that way. However, when we do this deep healing work, there are multiple timelines coexisting at once, is kind of the way that I see it. So I don't even like think of past lives. I think of other lives, other incarnations that may be happening simultaneously, just on a parallel timeline, which I know this is out there for some folks listening probably, but when it comes to healing work, there are ripple effects of doing the work. And it just ripples out to wherever it needs to go. And if you want to look at it as like a past life and going backwards in time that way, or past generation, then it can be helpful to do that. But I just always say, because time is an illusion, you know, you doing the work now heals people in the past, whether you realize it or not, and on another timeline, they have a very different reality. It's similar with inner child healing work too. Like, we often feel stuck, or I had this difficult experience in my childhood, and I'm forever burdened by that trauma. But when you do the healing work and you work with that child part of self, your whole being shifts and you experience things differently. And I'll share through my own ancestral healing work, just in coming to realize some of the traumas that have come down through my line and working with those more intently. One of the things that came to me recently was just my child as a representation of the healing. So, yes, I've been a cycle breaker in that I have chosen to parent my kids in a way that I was not parented, and that's addressing this lifetime's challenges and difficulties. But my eldest in particular came out with a vibrancy. I don't know how to explain it, like a life force and energy that is very bright and special. And he is a healing light wherever he goes. He just always has been, from the time he was an infant, very special in that way. And what hit me was like, wow, it is like the work that I'm doing now to heal my ancestors already reached them and got healed so that he could come through as a healed expression of my lineage. If mm-hmm. I know it sounds weird, but if that makes sense.
No, that is beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's, to me, testimony of like, wow, you doing the work now, see, you can mm-hmm. already see how it's paid off and shifted things. Because, you know, the other thing I want to mention here is, you know, ancestral healing, generational traumas are genetic. Like these, and there is evidence of that now. Anyone wants to look up epigenetic research and some of the data that has offered to us, but we do see genetic shifts from trauma. And so the healing work does create shifts as well. So Yeah, it's powerful work.
Yes, yes, very powerful. And thinking about, I really want you to talk a little bit about your new podcast called Blue Hour. And it's new, but I know that you're exploring some of this stuff with that podcast. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. Well, I've always been fascinated by these deeper concepts, you know, philosophy and spirituality and psychology. And so Blue Hour is kind of born out of my fascination with all these sorts of things. So the way I see it, it lies at the intersection of art, psychology, and spirituality, which just happened to be a few of my personal passions that also infuse the work that I do. So I initially started it as like just a forum to go deeper and explore these things. And it is that, and it will be more of that. I'm only partway through the first season right now, but initially I had decided to start at the beginning. So with season one, episode one, to just address origin stories. And I was thinking of our own personal origin stories and the things that just the stories we tell ourselves about who we are and what the world is like and how we show up. You know, we form those stories very early on, but they have a lasting impact to how we relate to everything in life. And when I did the first episode, I realized like this is too big of a topic to just address in one 20-minute, 25-minute episode. So I wanted to make the whole first season kind of about exploring those things. So the way I'm kind of looking at it now, season one is about our personal origin stories, the many factors that we experience in this lifetime that affect those origin stories. So addressing that psychological piece and identity formation, which is really inner child work, inner child healing. But I see it sort of branching out from there. So for the podcast in general, it's starting here with the self, very intimately going to the root and the core of how we understand ourselves. And then season two will branch out more into like ego expressions and ego identification and what that even means. And then we're just going to go out words. I intend to just go out from there all the way out to like the grand mysteries that that are just exciting and worth discussing, in my opinion.
Yeah. And I love how in one of the episodes you talked about the origin stories of certain superheroes and how I just love how you tied that in. And it was so beautifully done.
Yeah. I'm not a huge superhero freak, but I do love them. I love a good superhero story. And, you know, they're to me, that's the convergence of art and psychology too. It's pop art, but, those stories are reflective of culture. And so, and they're complex. I mean, origin stories are for superhero origin stories are a lot deeper than people might give them credit for. So, they're very complex, multifaceted characters, just like the rest of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So I encourage everyone to check out Adina's podcast, Blue Hour, and it is amazing. It's just getting started and I already love it so much.
Yeah, just getting started. Thank you. And I would love to have you as a guest on my podcast at some point in time. So we can go even deeper with some of that stuff.
Oh, yes. I would love that. Why don't you let people know? I know that you work with people in such beautiful ways. So I definitely want people listening to know like how they can work with you or what some of your offerings are, how they can, you know, just keep connected with you.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. So, you know, again, through the evolution of my career, you know, in the past, I've been sort of considered a counselor and a therapist, which I am. I still offer that mental health and emotional support. But again, I work best with people who want to go deeper, who want to get really curious with what lies beneath the surface of conscious awareness. IFS is the primary, you know, evidence-based modality that I draw from. But we also, I mean, I'll look at people's astrology charts and human design type. And then we do some ancestral work as well, or some generational work as that comes up. So I work with people predominantly one-on-one, although I'm in the process now of expanding to create some group offers as well. So I work predominantly one-on-one, and oftentimes that's like more long-term. Some of the folks that have been with me for years, and that's, I love the depth of relationship that forms. And yeah, that's just, I guess I want to speak for a second to the importance of that, the healing relationship in the work. It's very, very important part of the equation. But I also have developed some other offers where people can work with me more short term. So I offer some archetype readings. So the way that I see that is, it was born out of my struggle to connect with the divine, with spirit. You know, we, many of us grew up with this particular notion of God and what that is, and struggle with prayer or connecting, because there's some baggage associated with that former notion. Anyway, so to me, whether you're talking about God or you're talking about, you know, a particular goddess or some other archetype, it's all the same expression of divinity. So archetype readings help people, help connect people with an archetype that can offer them a form to direct their more spiritual work, in addition to like offering a sort of role model to assist, a source of strength. It's a creative way to get people connected more deeply and spiritually. I've started taking people out in the woods to do some forest bathing, which can be a one-off experience. When I take people in the woods, we don't just go out and sit in the woods. There's usually some, depending on what they're grappling with, some sort of ceremonial or spiritual element to it that I offer. It's not anything super complex or lengthy or anything like that, but I offer some method for deeper attunement to accessing the healing powers of nature and connecting more deeply while out there. And the other offer I have for getting outside is sort of this chakra series, where I've identified seven different locations in this region where we are, so in the Western North Carolina Asheville area, that align with each of the chakras, each energy center in the body. So I'll take people out and we'll do a little ceremonial ritual practice connected to opening, activating that center in that location that I think energetically just offers that as well. So that's what I have right now up on my website. And like I said, there's going to be some shifting, some more group offers coming along, and some other more creative opportunities, some intuitive art making opportunities and stuff like that. One of the things recently that I discovered during an Akashic reading session that I had for myself, we were talking about business and my business, and it was so validating because I was informed that I'm an Apollonian starseed, and that those energies are working with me. I had no idea what that meant. I was like, what are you even talking about? And again, I'm no expert on that, but what I was informed of is, you know, to work best, my way of working best is not to become an expert in one particular thing, but to explore and learn about multiple different things. And that really, really resonated for me. So she was like, you know, Apollonian starseeds don't profess to be experts in any one thing. They like to explore, they like to dabble, and that's kind of how you work best. So diversify your offers, have lots of things available to people. And so that is very much in alignment with how I work. So I tell people to just keep checking back to see what's new because it's ever evolving.
Yeah, I think I need to have one of those readings because something about that, it was like I could breathe. It's because I feel like sometimes I'm scattered or I just jump from one thing to the next, or I'm so interested in all of these different things. And I, I don't know, just thinking about I'm interested in astrology and human design and the moon phases and doing, you know, really anything. There's probably a list of like 20 different things that I'm reading up about or looking into or that I'm really interested in. And sometimes I get down on myself where it's like, why don't you just stop and just pick one thing? And I can't do it. And so that's just really resonating. So I'm like, I think I need to have one of those readings to see what's going on with that.
Yeah, I had a similar frustration because it's so contrary to traditional business advice or, you know, what we're told to be successful in our businesses. But yeah, it really resonated for me. And this in that comes back to what we were talking about at the beginning. So Cindy, if you already know, if that already resonates, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you're probably an Apollonian starseed too, guided by that energy as well. And just trust your instincts on that.
Yourself. Yeah, because even when you mentioned the forest bathing, like definitely been studying on that and wanting to incorporate that. And even just thinking about crystals and runes and tarot and just all the, you know, all the things and wanting to learn as much as I can about all these different things, because when I try to focus too much on one, it just seems limiting. Or I feel like I'm starting to, as I'm looking in to all of these different things, they're starting to connect. And I can see, I'm just imagining like this web of how all of these different modalities are interconnected. And mm-hmm. I feel like there's got to be some way where they just all meld together and one informs the other mm-hmm. and just being able to see those connections. So I'm feeling like that's where I'm going.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I mean, it's just so exciting. I think to just keep learning and keep exploring all of what's out there. So, and I love interacting with people in different ways. And one of the ways that I just felt so limited by the traditional counselor role that is, you know, we're taught to sort of keep our personal selves out of the helping relationship. And to me, that was always seemed counter to my intuitive sense, because I do feel like people heal best when they feel connected and there is an authentic relationship. Now, of course, I'm not going to go into somebody's healing session and start griping about my own life or going deep into my own issues, but I show up authentically. And I genuinely, like some of my clients really feel like family. Like I mm-hmm. genuinely care about them and their well-being. There is an energy of love that moves through and connection that is super powerful and healing. So I think it's really important for all of us in these roles to just keep kind of releasing the shackles of tradition and old ways of doing things, or maybe coming back to the old ways.
Yes. Yeah. I think coming back to the old ways, because when you think about healers a long time ago versus what we've been taught as therapists and counselors and having these really strict boundaries and not showing up as who you are and being this blank slate. And there's something that's really, really missing. And I think it is what can take healing to the next level.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think as we as practitioners, live our truths more authentically, you know, we model that for others. And again, ripple effects, that energy flows out and helps others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh my gosh, this has been such a beautiful conversation and I can't wait to have more. I'm sure we will be frequent guests on each other's podcast just to talk about these topics because I could do this all day. So let people know like how they can connect with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I neglected to mention that. So Blue Hour is the podcast, and that's available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. My website is firebirdcreative.me. So that's where people will get some more detailed information about exactly the services that I offer and what I do. And my contact information is there. If anyone listening is interested in, you know, accessing any of my services, the contact information is there. Please reach out. And the one other thing that I didn't mention, well, a couple other things. I have an Oracle deck that I created called the Soul Scryer's Oracle, which is also available for purchase via my website. I have I don't even really want to call it a digital course. It's like a digital program, I guess, to initiate some deep inner child healing work called Reparenting Yourself. Again, information about those are available through the website.
Yeah. And I just have to say how much I love the Oracle deck because it has taught me to connect even more deeply with my intuition because it's a deck and you look at the picture on it and you see what comes up for you and you have some beautiful questions that guide that. And so it's like reinforcing your trust in yourself and your intuition. So it is an amazing deck.
Yeah, it is definitely intended to help people, again, access their wise guide within through the visual imagery and the symbols that they interpret from there. And then the other, I'm also on Instagram, fire.bird.creative.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you again so much for being here. And I look forward to our future conversations.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I look forward to it too.
I would like to thank you so much for listening and for your patience as I rebrand right in front of your eyes. If you like today's episode, then you're going to love Cozy Hermit Coven, as we'll be getting more mystical, witchy, and introspective. I'll be sharing more about my vision for Cozy Hermit Coven over the coming weeks and months. But for now, you can follow @Cozy Hermit Coven on Instagram for updates. Until next time, I'm sending you my love.